Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, everyone. Again, we are continuing here in this devotional on the book of James. And I love James. It's the New Testament Proverbs. James, who was the actual brother of Jesus himself, is writing this letter as the leader of the church in Jerusalem to all the Jewish people who have been dispersed around the world. And he's talking to them and you and I as the people of God. And so we're up to verse 5. After last week, we talked through verses 1 to 4. Verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So this is when we don't know what to do, when we think, I really don't know what to do in this situation. That's lacking wisdom. And all of us will find ourselves in that circumstance somewhere along our journey. We just don't know what to do. We're at a dead end. We can't rely on our own intelligence, our own insight. And so we look up, look to the Lord, and we say, "Lord, I'm lacking wisdom here. I really am out of my depth. I don't know what to do." And so this is a humbling moment, and it's a great opportunity for us to humble our hearts when we say, "I don't know the answers here. I don't know what I should do." That is the beginning, the first step in getting wisdom. The wise don't think they're wise, which is interesting. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "A man who is wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than him." So that's strange, because you would think a wise person would know they're wise. But actually, the beginning of wisdom is to not think you are smart, because that keeps you humble. And that's smart. That keeps you teachable. And that is what wisdom is. So that we can look to God and say, "Please teach me. Please show me the way." And he might answer that through other people. Or he might answer it with a direct communication to your own heart, or through a book, or guide you into a group where that answer is. But when we look to the Lord for wisdom, it's because we've acknowledged we don't have what it takes in that situation. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. A lot of us have been told, you know, when we were young, don't ask. And asking can seem difficult. A lot of people don't have what they need in life because they just simply haven't asked. Whenever I'm buying something, I'll always ask for a better deal. Is that their best price? Ask your bank, is this the best percentage rate you can give us for our mortgage, and check up on them every 2 years or so, or even more often. "Ask and you shall receive," Jesus said. And you don't have because you don't ask. And when you're going to a hotel room, ask if they're prepared to give you an upgrade. Ask for a better deal. Ask for the good seats in the restaurant. We don't get because we don't ask. And sometimes I hear people complaining about things they could have had in life, but they simply didn't ask. And that's all God is saying: ask and you shall receive. And ask of God. Sometimes we think, God knows what I need, and I don't need to ask him. Why didn't God do this? Because often we didn't ask. And all through Scripture it says, "Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord, ask of God." And he gives to all liberally. He gives. This doesn't mean he pays wages. God's nature is to be generous, and he gives. That's his nature. He is a giver. We don't have to say, "Lord, I've been a good person. I've done this and I've done that." because there are going to be days when we haven't been that great. And we need the generosity and the mercy of a giving God. He gave his only son. He cannot withhold anything else, Paul argues, if he's given us Jesus. He couldn't say this is more valuable than Jesus and withhold it. And so he gives. God is a giving God. We should have that nature in our own selves, in our character, that we also are givers, generous givers. It says he gives to all liberally or generously, freely, simply, and without reproach. You know, when some people, they give you something and they say, yeah, I'm going to give you this, but don't you think I'm going to be, and it's got this upbraiding, this rebuking, this chiding attached to it. Yeah, all right, I'll give you this, but make sure you don't spend it all at once. Make sure you just keep yourself in a good place. I mean, God doesn't do that. He just gives liberally without reproach. And it will be given him. This is James speaking to the Jewish community and to you and I all around the world saying, ask of God and it will be given to you. God is good. He is not capricious. He is not saying, what is it you would like? And then you tell him and he says, well, that's the one thing you're never going to have. He doesn't hold back. It's his good pleasure, Jesus says, to give his children the kingdom. David said, delight yourself in the Lord in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we're worried about whether God wants us to have the blue one or the yellow one. Honestly, he doesn't care. What do you want? It's his delight to fulfill the dreams and the prayers and the desires of his children. He is a father, a good father, better father than any father we could ever have had or could be on planet Earth. God is good. And his goodness is revealed in his generous supply and abundance, in his fulfillment of those dreams that we have within our own heart. Ask of God, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, there's a caveat, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Oh, wow. Faith keeps you in a place where your mindset is strong, where your mind is healthy, where your emotions are healthy. When we go to doubt and uncertainty, when we go to procrastination and hesitation, when we go to discouragement and fear, we're not in faith. Faith is a switch that we can switch on in our own emotions, in our own mind. It's a good idea to switch it on every day because there are tons of circumstances that will switch it off. It's like when a fuse blows in your house, the lightning strikes and zzzt, suddenly all your lights are out. And you've got to go find the fuse and switch it back on. You didn't switch it off. Other forces did that. But you got to actually intentionally say, I'm going to start believing God again. I'm going to believe God today. I'm going to believe that all things work together for good. I'm going to believe that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm going to believe that God is for me and not against me. I'm going to believe that I have victory in the name of Jesus. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I'm going to believe God is good and he's on my side. He's with me. He's for me. And he is going to get me through whatever I am facing. That's what switching on your faith is. It's speaking his promises, seeing the answer in your imagination, and declaring it, believing it in prayer to God. That is what the prayer of faith is. But let him ask in faith. So this is the prayer of faith. And James speaks again about that prayer of faith later on in his letter. With no doubting. You and I can make a decision. I'm not going to doubt. We're not going to doubt this. Because then he says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That means this person is unstable. They're going everywhere. They're being blown this way, then that way. Jesus, in the book of Mark, rebuked the wind. So it was like a demon force. Spiritual force in the Bible is often characterized as wind, whether it's the Holy Spirit or a demon. It's spiritual forces. And we need to understand we are influenced all the time by these forces. But if we have indecision in our mind, it's like an open hole. It's like a hole in the wall that the devil will come through and push us around and bully us on the inside and toss us to and fro. Shall we do this? Oh, I don't know. If we could do this, oh, I'm not sure we should do this. That's not taking steps. That's being dithery. The Bible says the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. And so when we are in faith, we make decisions. We make decisions and we say, Lord, this is what I am praying you will help me with. I am open to you as my Lord that you'll guide me. But once God has guided us, once we are assured that we are in the right direction, we need to make a decision to get traction, to get momentum, and to make ourselves get moving forward to fulfill that decision we've made. We don't want to be driven and we don't want to be tossed. The Holy Spirit doesn't do either of those. He isn't about to toss you around or to drive you. He leads you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 7, James says, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Wow, what a scripture. Don't suppose that when we're undecided and two-minded and hesitant, procrastinating, dithery, that we're going to receive anything from the Lord because we're double-minded. That's the Greek word literally means two-souled. We've divided ourselves. When we say make your mind up to a person, we're saying make a decision. But the saying make your mind up is very graphic. That would mean we've got an unmade mind when we are decisionless. So without a decision, our mind is not complete. It is not in a healthy state. And as we go to make a decision, we will get guidance from the Lord. Don't wait for guidance and then make the decision. Start to take steps. Start to move. And as you move, as you pick up the phone to make the call, as you meet with the person to figure out what you're going to do, you will get answers. He will give you wisdom and you will get guidance, knowing exactly what you should do. But when we are in that undecided state, that's a state of doubt. That's a doubtful mind, a double-minded situation. It says that we won't receive from the Lord. Don't let that person think they're going to get anything from the Lord. You need to make your mind up not to have two opinions in your thinking and hoping that God will come through somehow. He's saying you'll find that not a lot happens. God is waiting for us to make our mind up and to say, this is what I'm asking for, Lord. And it says this person will not be just double-minded but unstable in many of their ways. The deepest and worst kind of double-mindedness is whether or not we're going to follow Jesus. And we need to settle it once for all that we're going to follow Christ. I have decided, no turning back. In the Old Testament, Elijah the prophet called on the whole of Israel to come and stand on Mount Carmel and declare which God they were going to follow, Jehovah or Baal. And he said, how long will you falter between these two opinions, whether you're going to follow Jesus or not, whether you're going to live for God or live for the world? And they needed to make a decision, and the prophet called them to that decision with a supernatural competition on the top of Mount Carmel, where he said, whichever God will answer the prayer with fire, let him be God. And all the people agreed. So the prophets of Baal, even though there were so many of them, at least 400, they couldn't get fire to come down out of heaven all day long. But then with one prayer, Elijah brought fire out of heaven and it consumed the entire offering. God wants you and I to be decisive about following Jesus, single-minded, single-hearted, so that we've left all to follow Christ as a disciple of his. And when we pick up our cross and lay down our life and say, Jesus, you are the Lord, not just my Savior, but the Lord of my life, we will find ourselves receiving many things that were not coming through in our lives before. Suddenly we're moving in one direction, on one pathway, following the one person, Jesus Christ. God bless you. You have a fantastic day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.